You're listening to The Space Show with Andrew Rennie. Franklin Story Musgrave was born on 1935, August the 19th, and lived his early childhood on a 500-hectare dairy farm in the Berkshire Mountains of Western Massachusetts. At the age of 12, following his parents' divorce, he went to a boys' boarding school in nearby Southborough, Massachusetts. In 1953, at the age of 18, Story entered the United States Marine Corps. The following year, he received the National Defense Service Medal and an Outstanding Unit Citation. Between 1956 and 1958, Musgrave attended New York's Syracuse University, graduating with a Bachelor of Science degree in Mathematics and Statistics. During 1958 and 1959, he went to the University of California in Los Angeles to gain a Master's of Business Administration in Operations Analysis and Computer Programming. He then moved on to Marietta College in Ohio and in 1960 graduated with a Bachelor of Arts in Chemistry. That same year, he married and began to study for a doctorate in medicine at Columbia University in New York City. In 1965, he heard about possible opportunities within the space program, so moved to Layton to undertake a United States Air Force postdoctoral fellowship at the University of Kentucky. There, he researched aerospace medicine and physiology and completed a Master of Science degree. In 1967, Story was selected by NASA as a scientist astronaut, so the Musgrave family again weighed anchor and moved to Houston. But this stay was short-lived, as they spent 12 months during 1968 and 1969 in Lubbock, that's in Texas. Lubbock is the home of the Reese Air Force Base, where Story participated in the military jet pilot training program. He broke all records at Reese for outstanding performance by a pilot in the program, receiving the Reese Air Force Base Commander's Trophy. As astronauts landed on the moon, Story and his family returned to Houston over the next several years as he undertook many astronaut duties. In 1974, he received the NASA Exceptional Service Medal. Despite his evident outstanding qualities, he did not gain a spaceflight assignment until 1983, when he flew STS-6, STS, the Space Transportation System, that means the space shuttle. In the main, this was due to the lack of flight opportunities. There were no American spaceflights between 1975 and 1981. Further flight assignments and academic study followed. In 1985, he flew aboard STS-51F, in 1989, STS-13, in 1991, STS-44, and in 1993, STS-61, and finally, in 1996, STS-80. His 1993 flight aboard Endeavour was the one that really thrust him into the public consciousness. This was the famous first Hubble Space Telescope servicing mission. 17 years later, the photo of Story Musgrave spacewalking to repair the crippled Hubble, with Western Australia's Shark Bay in the background, is one of the space age's iconic images. In 1996, Story left NASA and moved to Central Florida. Since then, he has devoted himself to a wide range of tasks, including lecture tours of Australia. On this evening's space show, we will concentrate on an aspect of Story Musgrave's life that is less well known than his six space shuttle flights. Musgrave is both a poet and musician, and we shall be hearing some of his work. We begin with Spatial Speed, which he co-wrote with Harry Roberts.
Okay, I think we've about converged on the calculation. at 35 past the hour. Looking for a T0 at 45 past the hour.
T-minus 2 minutes 30 seconds. The orbiter test conductor has requested that pilot Henricks clear the caution and warning memory system. Retraction of the gaseous oxygen vent hood is now underway. Liquid oxygen tank is now at flight pressure. Tonight's launch will mark the 7th night launch in the history of the shuttle program and the 10th flight of the orbiter Atlantis.
Atlantis is ready.
T-minus 31 seconds. We have a go for auto sequence start. Atlantis's 4 redundant computers have primary control of critical functions. T-minus 13, 12, 11, 10, 9. We have a go for engine start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff of Atlantis and a 6-man crew on a Department of Defense flight.
Special speed. Innocent, intoxicating, spatial speed, hurled headlong on chariots of fire. Faster, further, higher, life-loving speed. Beyond supersonic sound, life-giving speed. Serene, silent, orbital hyperspeed. Vital, victorious velocity. Spiritual speed. Floating in a sea of space, hurled along by waves of space in a minute of my life. Mycenae, Phoenicia, Egypt, Greece, Athens, Rome, and Jerusalem. In a minute of my life, all antiquity. Rolling down an endless hill, rolling round the endless sphere. In a minute, all my childhood places. In a minute, many million faces. In 10, alone to many races. In 20, the life of Santa Maria. Racing round the open road, invisible tracks in a visible void, skipping across the Pacific water. Solar glint and glitter gliding on the waves, waves of golden light sailing the royal blue. Sailing, soaring on a solar wind. Floating in a flying waterfall, watching one's wondrous world. Mountain motions, plains and desert oceans, curving counties, countries, continents. Fountains full of paint and colored waters, nimble nimbus and streaking stratus. Screaming, steaming quietly down the track, serene celestial motions, winding up the universe. Sun and stars sweeping, rise to set, lifting into light, falling into night. Walking shadows, stalking sundials, serene celestial motion. Copernican delight. Sun and I streaking through the sky. Minutes mark my days. Seasons cycle by. Hot and warm, cool and cold. Blooming blossoms, falling leaves, hemisphere to hemisphere. Celestial seasons passing here. Pictures pulsing past the pain. Images past a magic mind. Fingers walking on a globe, fingers flipping atlas pages. Speed the film, spin the carousel, thoughts racing images into thought. Pages blowing in a history book, orbiting pyramids, heavenly tombs. The soft long distances of yesterday, the sharp points of now. The infinite films of tomorrow, innocent, intoxicating. Spatial speed. Former astronaut Story Musgrave reading his poem Spatial Speed. In 2000 February, he attended a conference in Sydney. There he met Anne Lenehan, a woman whose many talents included public relations, marketing, advertising, corporate writing, photography, show production, editing, and publication. She is also a poet. Anne and Story began a long-distance literary correspondence and friendship, out of which grew several collaborative projects. One of these was a 467-page biography, several television and theatre productions, and a musical poetry CD. The poetry and music we are hearing on this evening's space show comes out of that collaboration. One of Anne's poems appears in the biography. Here she is to read Astronaut Eyes.
Through your eyes I've seen the earth in colours so profound, and tasted her delicious shades through subtle light and sound. I've soared above her desert sands, cast ripples on her lakes, and danced around the twilight to the rhythms she creates. Across great sweeps of rich terrain of every shape and hue, across the changing oceans till I drowned amid the view, and out beyond the limits of our precious earth and sun, I found a sense of freedom in the things I'd never done. Because of you, I learnt to float where few have learnt to fly, to savour every moment as we drift through earth and sky, to balance on the edge and ride with passion where you lead, to breathe of earthly visions and on star-turned thoughts to feed. For through your eyes I've found a way to share what you have seen, to capture what it means to live and never fear to dream, to look about the universe for what my place might be, reflecting on the things we've shared and what they mean to me. And what can ever equal all the dangers you have faced? You'd give your life tomorrow if it served the human race. And here you stand before me now, beneath these star-filled skies, to let me drink the universe clear through your shining eyes.
Anne Lenhan reading her poem Astronaut Eyes about astronaut Story Musgrave. Anne was born in Sydney in 1967. As part of her research into the biography, Anne asked Story, why we explore? Do we have a choice?
We have no choice, sir. It's the nature of humanity. It's the nature of life. The globe was created and life evolved. And you look at every single cubic millimeter in this earth, you can go to 30,000 feet down below the earth's surface. You can go 40,000 feet up in the air and life is there. When you look at the globe down there and you see teeming life everywhere, it's the power of life. And maybe I'm not just a human up here, you know. Now life is leaping off the planet. It's heading for other parts of the solar system, other parts of the universe. There are those kinds of pressures. It isn't simply politics. It isn't simply technology. It's really not just the essence of humanity, but it's sort of also, you know, you could look at it as maybe the essence of life. I think Teilhard de Chardin in Phenomenon of Man, I believe he put that incredibly well. So those kinds of forces are at work. It's the nature of humans to be exploratory and to push on. Yes, it costs resources, and it does cost a lot, and there is a risk, there is a penalty, there is a downside. But exploration and pioneering, I think those are the critical things. It's the essence of what human beings are. And that is to try to understand their universe, try to participate in the entire universe, and not just their little neighborhood.
Musgrave has explored this idea in his poem, Why.
Space, it's almost like a new frontier. It's in ways similar to the way one culture moves into another culture. Frontiers we've had on Earth. I think the lessons are very clear, though, that you cannot understand another culture. You cannot understand another reality, another place, by taking yourself there and saying, I'm going to remain who I am. I am going to carry my other culture with me. You need to leave that behind. The critical thing is that you surrender to the new place, the new culture. You become it. it's impossible to understand a place if you want to conquer it. It is surrender to it. That is the way that you can understand it. It's the nature of humanity. It's the nature of life. The globe was created and life evolved. And you look at every single cubic millimeter in this earth. You can go to 30,000 feet down below the earth's surface. You can go 40,000 feet up in the air and life is there. When you look at the globe down there and you see teeming life everywhere, it's the power of life. And maybe I'm not just a human up here, you know. Now life is sleeping off the planet. It's heading for other parts of the solar system, other parts of the universe. There are those kinds of pressures. It isn't simply politics. It isn't simply technology. It's really not just the essence of humanity, but it's sort of also, you know, you could look at it as maybe the essence of life. I think Teilhard de Chardin and Phenomenon of Man, I believe he put that incredibly well. So those kinds of forces are at work. It's the nature of humans to be exploratory and to push on. Yes, it costs resources, and it does cost a lot, and there is a risk, there is a penalty, there is a downside. But exploration and pioneering, I think those are the critical things. It's the essence of what human beings are. And that is to try to understand their universe, try to participate in the entire universe, and not just their little neighborhood.
In his poem, Centerpiece, Story begins, or rather brings, an outer space view to humanity's search for global peace. And this is set to the music of Harry Roberts and Ben Ockerty. Centerpiece, poetry and music by Story Musgrave. And now, Pockets.
My pockets filled with a picnic lunch. I float into view of the spacecraft's windows. They are filled with earth, heavenly earth. She beckons and I follow. High above the Florida shoreline, I abandon myself to the beach. Abandon myself to earth and lift my soul toward her visceral blue Bahamas. Oh, my Bahamas, floating in an ocean of space. You float me in your oceans of deep, dark water. Bathe me in your lagoons of shallow, liquid light. Splashed with iris, sprayed with blue heaven, touched by tides of turquoise. My free-falling body sinks into your sapphire sea. Now, a beam of pure white sunlight. Now, earthly eyes reflected in the window pane. Earthly blue eyes mirrored in your clear blue water. It is really Earth who looks into the looking glass. And to the distant north, Bermuda, like Earth, volcanic ash adorned with living coral colors. Like Earth, floating in a sea of space, remote from everybody and every place. And to the distant south, the Caribbean gently loops her strings of gold-rimmed living emeralds along the curving blue horizon. Racing round this open road, invisible tracks in the visible void, I sail across the Atlantic waters, sun-glint and sun-glitter, gliding on the waves. Now, Namibia, desert streaming into ocean, waves of bright sand diving into dunes of dark water. Visible rhythms of blue and brown, sea and sand dance upon my strings. Soaring above the African heartland, large human-like forms etched by the Kalahari. Fractals sketched by crisscrossing fault lines. Pink algae painted on green waters and the snows of Kilimanjaro. Over the Mozambique Channel, onto Madagascar, and into the biological bits of Boca. On its path to the ocean, the river runs from the highlands in small reddish-brown arterioles, branches into myriad bluish-brown capillaries, and finally coalesces into a single blue vein at the shoreline. Sailing to the south of the Seychelles, my window comes to rest on a magnificent Maldives. Atolls, remnants of long-gone volcanic islands. Narrow focused outlines sketched in coral sand and vine. Sea after sea of pearl necklace floating in royal aqua. More atolls, more islands. The sun and I streaking through the sky, set down upon Australia. The shadows grow, the clouds turn pink, the water red. Night comes down to earth below. The multi-layered horizon dances reds, oranges, and yellows till it rests for the night in blue. City lights and stars that play together, I float and fly under the earth. Enchanted by the pink lightning streaking above the blazing orange trails of meteoroids shooting like rockets up into the air. The Southern Cross drifting through the luminous blue horizon. And an undulating ebb and flow of pink and green auroral mist. All too soon, this serene, silent fall through the night has moved the sun to the eastern horizon. Sunrise, another day, another journey begin. The earth beckons, and I follow.
Anne Lenihan asked Story how we can foster increased understanding of space.
We enter into space. It's almost like a new frontier. It's in ways similar to the way one culture moves into another culture. the frontiers we've had on Earth. I think the lessons are very clear, though, that you cannot understand another culture. You cannot understand another reality, another place, by taking yourself there and saying, I'm going to remain who I am. I am going to carry my other culture with me. You need to leave that behind. The critical thing is that you surrender to the new place, the new culture. You become it. It's impossible to understand a place if you want to conquer it. It is surrender to it. That is the way that you can understand it.
Story wrote his poem Prelude in 1988. It is an acknowledgement of his origins in the Berkshire Mountains of Western Massachusetts.
The seeds of clover were sown, the kernels of my soul were grown. Grew I through food and fear, through nature's land far and near. Grew I rooted in hill and vale, till uprooted, born by road and rail. Among the mountains and the streams, in and out of all the earthly seams. Up and down the heavenly beams, melted, molded I by myriad steams. Sculptured by the seasons, listening to nature's reasons, grew I rooted in the ether. Seeds of clover were sown. The kernels of my soul were grown. Grew I through food and fear, through nature's land, far and near. Grew I rooted in hill and vale. Till uprooted, born by road and rail. Among the mountains and the streams, in and out of all the earthly seams. Sculptured by the seasons, listening to nature's reasons. Grew I
Story Musgrave's Prelude. Anne Lenihan wanted to explore the contrast between the dairy farm childhood to the astronaut experience. So she asked him, what are the surroundings in orbit?
Sense of these surroundings, sir? Well, first of all, you've got to look at Earth, about 370 miles. You can see about 700 miles to 1,000 miles away from you, looking at our home down there. I think that's the first perspective. And surrounding us is an incredible amount of technology, both in the bay, the kind of instruments and things we're fixing on Hubble, but also just looking around at the shuttle vehicle we have here. I think it's a combination of nature and technology.
And there we're going to leave the poetry of Story Musgrave for this evening. But there's more to come. Tune in next week and we will continue with part two of the poetry and story of Story Musgrave, an astronaut who's been in space many, many times.